Jordan. Her name is Addie Wyatt. She is the vice president. She is the vice president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women, that is an outstanding caucus in this country. And she is the international vice president of the Amalgamated Meat Cutters and Butcher Workmen of North America. She is an outstanding leader in the community, as well as among labor and in her church. She is married to Reverend Claude S. Wyatt, Jr., who is pastor of the Vernon Park Church of God. She is a commissioner and has been an outstanding member of our commission. She is a mother and a grandmother and a longtime advocate of women and all human rights. She is one that I personally adore. Please welcome Addie Wyatt, the chair of this session. By Dr. Ali Corbin Hickson of Greenburg, Kentucky, who is the chair of the...
Thank you very much, Bella. Sisters, sometimes I wish my eyes hadn't been open. Sometimes I wish I could no longer see all of the pain, the hurt, and the longing of my sisters and me as we try to be free. Sometimes I wish my eyes hadn't been open. Just for an hour, how sweet it would be not to be struggling, not to be striving, but just sleep securely in our slavery. But now that I've seen with my eyes, I can't close them, because deep inside me, somewhere and somehow, I still know the road that my sisters and I have to travel. My heart would say yes, and my feet would say go. Sometimes I wish my eyes hadn't been open, but now that they have, I'm determined to see that somehow my sisters and I will be, this day, the free people we were created to be. I want to thank Carol Etzler. I am delighted to see each of you here this morning. I think that we've had a very, very interesting, a very significant, as well as historic conference. But today marks a very, very, very important moment for each of us. We have arrived here this morning, I hope sincerely, for the intent of doing what is necessary to bridge the gap between the promise and the fulfillment of freedom, equality, and the fullest opportunities possible for women in America and women in the world. And so on those bases, we greet you and we ask God's blessings upon all of our efforts today. It is my hope and my desire that we will meet here today realizing that most people fall into at least three major categories. Namely, there are some people who go through life watching things happen. They just watch. There are some people who go through life just wondering what's happening. Then there are some people who go through life making things happen. And I'm proud this morning to be among so many of you who are very capable of making things happen, and especially our plan of action as we rededicate and recommit ourselves to move American women forward. I'm going to ask our sisters for us this morning, Midge Costanza.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to tell my sisters from New York I've always loved apples better than oranges anyway. They have less pits. We have spent 4 days together. And after 25 years of active political and public life, I can stand before you and I can say, I am a woman, and somehow it has a new meaning, it has a new feeling, it has a new power, it has a whole new identity and a hell of a lot of pride. About this past 4 days is that I continually learn from those who have gone and still are going ahead of me. I learn from those who are coming behind me. And it was a learning process that I'm taking back to my community and sharing with those who could not be here with us. About the ERA and the fact that I want to be legalized in the Constitution of the United States. I could say I am a woman and the message that goes out loud and clear to this nation and to the world. I am a woman. I am a woman and I want the right to choose my own destiny, and whether that destiny be housewife or mother or assistant to the president, it is not what you choose, but the right to make that choice. The message has gone out loud and clear that I am a woman. I may be poor, I may be black, I may be Hispanic, I may be Asian, I may be a Native American, or I may be an Italian American or any other ethnic, but I'll tell you, I want my human dignity. Not as a privilege, but as a right. I am a mother, and I want a decent... I am not a mother, but if I were a mother, I would want a decent education for my children. If I were a mother, and if I were on welfare, I would not want anyone to think that I am lazy and shiftless and that I do not want to work. I want them to know I want to work when they will give me decent child care so I can go out and get a job. And if I have children and they are abused, I want a safe place to put that child. I want the rights for the children who are born. The message has gone out loud and clear. I am a woman and I am handicapped and I don't want your pity. I want to be part of the mainstream of life. The equal opportunity to be part of everything that you are as a total human being. I am a woman. And I want the right to love whomever I please without any harassment. And without discrimination or the fear of losing my job. I am a woman who also happens to be the assistant to the President of the United States. And as the I am an assistant to the President of the United States who is waiting for this report. Because I have the trust and confidence in the depth of Jimmy Carter's commitment to women, I know that the response from Jimmy Carter will be sensitive, and he will respond to the messages that we have sent out to the nation and to the world from this conference. And to use his phrase, you can depend on that. But what now? I've gone through some of the litany of the issues and the sensitivities and the priorities that we have set here in the last 4 days. But what now? What happens when you leave this conference and you go back into your communities, to your organizations? What happens with the information and the renewed strength and commitment that you got here in the last 4 days? Will it become just a great exhilarating memory? Will it become something that you will always remember as being a historic event and nothing more? It cannot be. You must go back to your communities. You're going to have to defeat those elected officials who do not share our sensitivity. That the last 4 days was not a commitment to governmental and political action is crazy. You will elect those who do share our sensitivities and commitments. And you will give support to those appointed and elected officials who have the courage to stand up for what they believe, even though it may be uncomfortable and controversial. only, you will stay alive. I have had the most exhilarating 4 days of my life. And the most meaningful, and I think it's because I have had an opportunity to share myself, my life, my most valuable commodity with all of you. It's been an experience I will never forget, an experience that means a great deal to me. And there is one thing that I must mention before I get away from this microphone. It is this. There were many people who served as commissioners on International Women's Year. All of them committed to other professions and activities. They have given so much of their time and effort to them as a woman, to them as a sister, to them as an assistant to the president who named you. Thank you all so very much for sharing with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Midge. We'll have to be quiet. We have a very short time this morning to do an awful lot of work. And to the extent that you're going to cooperate as we've requested, we'll be able to complete that work. She has a presentation, and we'd like to call upon her to make that presentation. Mary?
Of the Houston Committee and the over 2,000 volunteers, it is my privilege to present these roses to you, Bella. As the presiding officer of the National Commission on the Observance of International Women's Year, Bella, your warmth, sense of humor, but more importantly, your sense of fairness made possible the most successful event in the history of our country, in the history-making event of the century. Thank you, Bella. American women are on the move.
Thank you. Is 17-year-old high school senior from Happy, Texas, where she is the head cheerleader. She was recently elected national president of Future Homemakers of America. She lives on a farm, and she's one of the youngest delegates at this conference. It is fitting that a representative of her generation, who will carry the torch of equal rights longer and perhaps further than many of us who are here, should be our final speaker for this morning. Will you warmly greet our sister, Brenda Parker? We have it in our power to shape change. We may choose one future over another. We cannot, however, be content with the past. In our family form, as well as in our economics, science, technology, and social relationships, we will be forced to deal with the new. Alvin Toffler expressed this idea in his book, Future Shock, but it transcends beyond the book and is relevant this moment, this day, as women have come together at this national convention in Houston to continue their struggle for equality. And tomorrow, back in our homes and communities. We must and we will continue to face and gladly accept the challenges and opportunities, and we will not be afraid to change to meet these responsibilities. That this conference has dealt so strongly with the roles of women, and especially the homemaker. Women and men should be guaranteed equality of rights, both in the home and the world of work. I feel that a good definition of a homemaker is anyone who shares in the responsibility of making the home a nurturing, self-value, goal-setting, self-fulfilling environment. It's not a label you can pin on any one person. Indeed, men, as well as women, children, grandparents, and single people can and do assume this role. Homemakers of America have worked very hard to help people accept the changing roles of women and to adjust to the roles of men and women in today's society. We feel that individuals should mold their own lifestyles, not according to a fixed pattern or stereotype, which is indeed one of the basic human rights and a deep concern of this conference. I feel as a young woman and a representative of women that we do demand as a human right a full voice and role for women in determining our world, our nation, our families, and our individual rights. I urge all women, especially the youth, to become involved in helping achieve this goal and to help form a more perfect union.
Consideration as a part of the President's proposed government reorganization plan, Congress and the President should establish a cabinet-level women's department in the executive branch of the federal government to help ensure that all persons are guaranteed equal opportunity without regard to sex. The department should consolidate all functions of the Department of Labor's Women's Bureau, Women's Action Program of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, the President's National Commission on the Observance of International Women's Year, and other commission agencies or bodies that deal primarily with women's concerns. Review and monitor existing federal programs affecting women. Oversee the enforcement of laws prohibiting sex discrimination. Propose new programs and legislation to advance the rights of women. Follow up on the recommendations of the National Women's Conference. Serve as a clearinghouse for information on programs and legislation of interest to women. Collect statistical data on women. Act as an advocate in federal agency matters which substantially affect the interests of women. Report to the President and Congress on matters within its jurisdiction. Consult regularly with an advisory board and with a task force on minority women composed of individuals from the private sector who are concerned with the status of women. The chair recognizes the delegate at mic two. The chair recognizes the delegate at mic two.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm a delegate from the state of Washington, Lily Aguilar. And I move to amend the resolution on the Women's Department as follows, that on line five, where it says to change the
Sister,
term,
do we have your amendment up here in triple
yes,
copy?
Madam Chair, I turned
Will
it in.
Some...
Number one, that I move to amend the resolution as follows, on line five, to change the term consolidate to promote, and on line 19, to change, and with the task force of minority women to include members of each ethnic...
Just a moment, sister.
...where it says to consult regularly with an advisory board and with the task force on minority women to change that to read as follows. Consult regularly with an advisory board including members of each ethnic racial minority women's group. And I would like to speak to the reason for my motion. I believe that we should not consolidate these departments because we need a broad-based group of women's organizations working for us, and they can do better within the departments that they're in now without our consolidating them into one specific organization. Thank you.
The chair now recognizes the delegate ready to vote on the resolution as amended, the resolution of the women's department as amended. All in favor of the motion to adopt the resolution on the Women's Department as amended, will you please rise? Will you be seated? All those who oppose, will you rise? The motion is defeated. So let's pause and let them understand why, and we won't have to retake these votes. Whereas Public Law 94167 requires the establishment of a committee of the conference, which will take steps to provide for the convening of a national women's conference to assess the progress made towards achieving the recommendations of this 1977 conference. And whereas such committee would constitute an important mechanism to consider steps to achieve the recommendations of this conference, it is hereby resolved that a committee of the conference be selected by the National Commission on the Observance of International Women's Year after receiving recommendations in writing on or before December the 30th, 1977, from the delegates of this body following the conference. The committee shall be composed of persons of diverse ages and racial, ethnic, religious, economic, social, and geographic backgrounds. Two, this conference calls upon the President to issue an executive order creating a commission to carry out our recommendations. Three, the committee of the conference
shall serve until such time as the president appoints such a commission. 4, this conference calls upon the president and Congress to authorize and appropriate sufficient funds to enable these bodies to carry out this mandate. That is now the motion that we're voting on. All in favor of that motion, will you rise? Will you be seated? All opposed to the motion, will you rise? The motion is carried and the resolution is adopted.
With all due thanks to the Commission and to all delegates from all over this country who have come here, I move that we adjourn.
It has been motioned that we adjourn. All those in favor of adjourning, will you please rise? Be seated. All of those who oppose, will you rise? The motion is carried.